hope your weekend is going great so far. I have been given the opportunity to speak into the last letter in Bless, which is an S. We have heard about beginning with prayer, about praying for opportunities to meet people, to talk with people. We've heard about listening to these people's stories. We've heard about eating with people, which is clearly everybody's favorite letter in this acronym. We've heard about serving people. And today, the second S is share. Share your story. And this is where it all comes together, because if you remember, the whole purpose of being a blessing is to bless people with the love of Jesus Christ so that they come back to God. This is where the blessing comes together, because if you bless people without Jesus, then you're just a nice person, which is okay. It's not a bad thing. But why not bless people with the love of Jesus? Why not be the good news like Sammy talked about last week? We could bless people all the time, but the purpose is not to literally bless them. The purpose is to show people the love of Jesus so they come back to God. And the story you have to share is not just any story. It's the only story that matters. It's the story. It's the story that of change that takes place in us when we encounter Jesus in a personal way. I'm sure a lot of you have heard the saying before at some point in your life, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This quote is attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Let me say it again. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. I don't think I'd be going out on a limb saying that out of these five missional practices of praying, listening, eating, serving, and sharing your story, that this message might be one of the most challenging. It's scary sometimes to think about sharing your story. That's why this quote from St. Francis of Assisi is at the forefront of the message today. Oftentimes, people misquote this saying by preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. The word if makes a big difference. The word if means a person might never actually have to share their story. They might not actually ever have to talk with anyone. Conversations about God with coworkers, with neighbors, with friends, with family can be very intimidating. And when this is a situation, if is a very appealing alternative. You might not actually have to say anything. The original quote didn't have the word if in it, and I think that was purposeful. Again, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. If and when bring two very different meanings. The original quote was a reminder from St. Francis of Assisi that the gospel is proclaimed always in word and deed. Our purpose as a Christian is to ultimately share the love of Jesus. So let's take a look at Jesus and how he lived out telling his story through spoken words. We're going to open up to John 3, and I invite you to pull out your teaching notes in your program. Otherwise, the scripture is going to be on the screens. But I really, if you have your Bible, open it up with me because it's good. So John chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God." Before we go on, a quick backstory. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and Pharisees were ultra-conservative, very educated people who were influential religious leaders. And they would often butt heads with Jesus. And in fact, you might call them anti-Jesus. So it makes sense that we read Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night because he doesn't want other people to know that he has an interest in Jesus. He doesn't want his peers to hear that he's associating himself with Jesus. And so we continue reading. "For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with them." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Nicodemus acknowledges that Jesus is from God. He says as much in verse 2. Jesus doesn't respond with a thank you or a "you are correct, sir." Jesus responds with a challenge that speaks straight to who Nicodemus is. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born again. And this challenge is not to Nicodemus alone, but it's to all of us. Nicodemus is confused because he is an Israelite, and he's not just an Israelite by birth, but he has also lived by certain religious rules, rules that separated him from the average person. But Jesus challenges us by challenging Nicodemus. Verse 4, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asks. When he asks, "How can this be?" Nicodemus is genuinely intrigued. He's interested at what Jesus has to offer. His world is being turned upside down about what it means to find God. We keep reading in verse 10. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Jesus is telling Nicodemus, "I am not just a miracle worker. My story is not just about the physical healing that you have seen. I am the one who knows about heaven because I am God in the flesh. I am truth." Jesus continues to rock Nicodemus in verse 14. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Jesus makes sure that Nicodemus knows that through personal faith in Christ comes eternal life. It's not a life of rules and regulations. It's not a life of being good enough. It's not a life where we act one way on a Sunday and another way the rest of the week. It's through personal faith in Christ alone. And Jesus drops the most quoted verse in all of the Bible to Nicodemus in John 3:16. Nicodemus comes to Jesus with a great spiritual interest. And the question is no longer if. It is a very obvious that now is the time of when. So Jesus shares the story of who he is. He shares the story of what he is about and what Nicodemus can do to find his way back to God. And this is all we do with this part of the blessed strategy. When necessary, share the story. Share the story of who Jesus is to you. Share the story of what he has done for you. Share the story of how you found your way back to God. Maybe you have some hesitations in this. Maybe you have some hesitations in sharing your story. I know I do. Maybe you feel like you don't know enough about the Bible. Maybe you feel like you're not very good with words. Maybe you just don't want to come across as a fanatic getting all up in people's business. But sometimes I think we get so concerned about not coming across as that fanatic that we are silent about the best news and the greatest story we could ever have the privilege to share. And it is a privilege. But if you have begun with prayer, if you have listened to where people are at, if you have eaten with them, if you have served them, then now is the most opportune time to share that story. There was a woman in my building that moved in around the same time my wife Kristen and I did. She was an older woman who was single, and it happened to be that she was the only other person with a dog, so obviously there's an immediate connection there. She was a great lady, and I immediately felt a tug at my heart to start being intentional with her, to start having conversations with her, to start praying for her. And Winnie was a woman, despite her old age, was incredibly spunky and full of energy. She loved to share her opinion about what she thought was best. And there was just something about her that I admired. And I actually have no idea, but I just assumed that she didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Over the years, we would be in conversation, and she knew that I worked with students, and she knew that I worked with students at a church. So to some extent, she knew what I was about. She knew my beliefs. The opportunity for me never came up to tell much more than that, though. Or maybe I just didn't see the opportunity to share. This past year, Winnie got sick with cancer, and things were not looking like they were going to get much better for her. She ended up in the hospital, and all the residents in our small building got a note. And it just said that she would not be around much longer. I felt an urge to do something. I knew that my time was limited to respond to this nudging, to this God prompting. For whatever reason, though, I had this huge shadow of anxiety cast over me. And I remember sitting in my kitchen with my wife, with a pen, and with a note. And I couldn't write anything on the note. I knew I wanted to share some verses with her. I knew I wanted to tell her the good news. But my thoughts and what was on my heart wouldn't translate to the paper. And finally, Kristen looks at me and says something like, "Just share what's on your heart. Share some verses. She's not going to be upset that you are trying to share something with her and uplift her." And that was the kick in the butt I needed. I looked at scripture, wrote a few verses down, and I wrote some things down that I felt like fit the situation that Winnie was in, and I sent the letter out. And about a week later, we got the news that Winnie had passed. I look back on that situation, and I think to myself, if I had waited any longer, there's a really good chance the letter would not have made it to Winnie. And there's a good chance that the good news I had to share with her would not have been shared. And to be honest, I have no idea what happened with Winnie eternally. I don't. I don't know if Jesus grabbed her heart. I don't know anything other than I was obedient to that God prompting. I had to send Winnie a letter of the good news. I also look back in that situation and know that I did begin with prayer for Winnie. I did listen to her story. I did eat with her. I did serve her. And I did this all without knowing about this acronym of BLESS. If you remember back to the first sermon when Joel spoke, he said, "I can do that." That's what this BLESS strategy is all about. It's saying that I can do that. And it's not because I'm special or because I'm on staff at a church. It's because as Christians, we're called to do this. And sometimes we do it without even knowing that we're doing this. And so today, we get the challenge of sharing our story. In 1 Peter 3:15, it tells us that we should always be prepared to give a reason concerning the hope that is in you. We have to be ready to share the story of Jesus. When you are ready to share your story with words, there is a basic outline that you can remember: before, during, and after. What was your life like before you committed to follow Jesus? What was missing in your life? How did you operate on a day-to-day basis before Jesus? During, what is your story of how you made a commitment to Jesus? Just tell how you made that commitment. What did you do? Who came alongside of you? What words were spoken to you that were helpful so that you found Jesus? After, what is your story after you made a commitment to follow Jesus? Tell about the difference that following Jesus has made in your life and for eternity, because eternity is real. Just tell your story. It doesn't have to be a super dramatic tale of losing everything and gaining the world. You don't have to be a Satan-worshipping, drug-dealing person who, once they found Jesus, prays 10 hours a day and never stops reading their Bible. If that's you, praise the Lord, but I'm assuming that it's not most of you. Just tell your story. God uses all of our stories to impact in different ways. My story is not going to impact the same people that your story is going to impact. Your story of how Jesus impacted your life will influence people. Be bold in sharing the greatest story, the greatest thing that has ever happened to you, because you have experienced grace. You know what it's like to be forgiven. You know what it's like to have a purpose in life. You have a hope that goes beyond this life. You handle your relationships differently than you once did. You make financial decisions differently than you once did. Your approach and priorities about work and family are different than they once were. Jesus challenges our lives. He changes our lives. He changes them in this life and for eternity. Just remember before, during, and after. The after part can be tricky though. You might think that life has to be perfect in order for you to share your story. Nobody wants perfect. Nobody expects perfect. Life with Jesus is not always rainbows and butterflies. There are difficult moments, and I think in these moments is a place of vulnerability that people who don't know Jesus soak in. People don't want to hear how perfect your life is. If you are communicating perfection, that seems unattainable, and in reality, it is unattainable. Jesus doesn't expect perfection either. He doesn't want you to communicate perfection. He does want you to make progress, however. There's a leader in the student ministry who shares a simple phrase with this small group. He says, Jesus calls for progress, not perfection. Jesus calls for progress, not perfection. And when we are making progress, change is happening. We are becoming more like Jesus. We are learning the ways of Jesus. We are hearing the stories from Scripture about Jesus. We are following the truths of Scripture, and progress is being made in our lives. In Romans, we read that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Every living person on this earth has fallen short of perfection. When you think you need to have your ducks in a row to share the greatest story on earth, well, you're never going to share that story because your ducks are never going to be in a row. So when Jesus changes your life, share your story. It's as easy as before, during, and after. Share where you started before Jesus. Talk about what it was like when you found your way back to God. And lastly, describe how things are different with Jesus since you have decided to follow him. Just keep it real. Just be vulnerable and tell your story. It will help people to come back to God. When I was in high school, as many of the students know, I was a punk. And I don't mean a punk like going to heavy metal shows. I was just an idiot. I struggled with many of the same things that students struggle with now. Relationships with girls, chemical abuse, depression, questioning my faith, and a myriad of other issues. But God was stirring something in me my senior year. He was working on my heart. He was bringing the truths that I knew about him to the forefront of my mind and heart. On New Year's Eve every year, my youth group did a big event where we would come together and have a night of fun. And there would also be a spiritual side attached to this. So there would be a message, there would be worship, there would be testimonies of what God had been doing in some of the students' lives. And big surprise, I hadn't been asked to share my testimony. But I felt a stirring, and I talked with my youth pastor, and I asked if I could share. No one really knew the extent of my story. But I knew the Holy Spirit was tugging at my heart to share what God had been doing in me. So I asked him. And I don't remember much of what I said. I know that I talked about what I had been struggling with. And I also said that it seems like I have things all together, but I don't. I know that I am not perfect. I know that God will continue to work in me. I know that I am thankful for his abundant grace. And what I shared was not long. It was not thought out. But I knew I needed to share what Jesus had been doing in my life and how I changed because of Jesus and his sacrifice. Through this time of sharing, I know that there was one student who responded to this. I later found out, he said, if Josh, through all his junk, can have a relationship with Jesus, I know I can as well. Now, I didn't begin with prayer. I didn't listen to his story, but I was in a relationship with this guy. We were in the same grade. We had been in the same youth group for a couple years. We played on the same church basketball team. And we were both in similar circumstances at that time. And that's what this is all about. It's all about having a relationship. When you do have this relationship with somebody, there will be something at some point that they will see about you. It will be intriguing. It might be attractive to them. It might keep tugging at their heart. And at some point, when you are in a relationship, friend, neighbor, coworker, relative, whoever it might be, and they don't know Jesus or the impact he has on your life, words will be necessary. Jesus knew he was ready to use words. He was listening to what his Father wanted out of him. He was tuned into his spirit. Nicodemus came to him. Nicodemus was curious. Nicodemus was ready. And Jesus used words. This is how it is for us too. I knew there was an opportunity that night. I knew there was a stirring and something was happening inside of me. And at the time, I didn't know it was God, but as I look back on it and have experienced more God promptings, it's so obvious that in that moment, God was prodding me to do something so he could work through me. I listened and God worked. Before I finish, I want to end with a thought of tremendous importance. And this is something that is honestly, it might sound like a harsh word, but I don't want it to be harsh. I want it to be encouraging to you in your walk of faith. It's challenged me pretty hard. If you met Jesus and it didn't really change you, maybe it wasn't Jesus who you met. If you call yourself a Christ follower and following Christ hasn't changed you, maybe you aren't following Christ. When we are in relationship with Jesus, we are constantly being refined. Hebrews 12, 5 and 11 says this, "And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." This is simply saying we need to be constantly moving towards the likeness of Christ. It doesn't all come in one swift swoop. And sometimes there will be an intense period where God is just poking at one issue. And the longer you ignore that poking, the longer he's going to poke. This is what it means when you hear progress, not perfection, that Jesus calls for progress, not perfection. Look for places before, during, and after to share where Jesus is making progress in your life. today, as we take communion together, this is an opportunity for us to kind of just take a step back and say, Jesus, am I responding to your promptings? Am I feeling where you're poking at me? Am I making progress to become more like you? Take a minute to just look inside of you. Because what communion represents is all about the sacrifice that he has made for us. His death on the cross for our sins. The grace that he has poured out through that action when we are so undeserving. That is what the story is all about. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for your son. God, you are holy and you are gracious. And I thank you for that grace, because without that grace, we have no story to tell. Lord, you have made us new, and you continue making us new. Challenge us. Help us find progress in our lives. Keep poking at us until we respond to your prompting. Lord, you are so worthy of our praise. Would you meet us in this time as we look to just say thank you for your action on the cross? Amen.